Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for calling us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We were dead to sins, but we are now reconciled with God, and we are justified through faith in your grace, and we're now adopted into God's family. We're now heirs of Abraham, according to your promise. And thank you for giving us a new life, and may we live a life worthy of your calling. As we start 2017, we're once again reminded of your great commandment and great commission. We pray that the gospel will transform us so that we'll love you with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds. And we'll love our neighbors. We also remember your mandate for the church to make disciples of all nations and to witness for you so that people of all tongues can come to worship you. We also pray for the brothers and sisters among us that are going through trials. Some of us lost jobs. Some of us face great difficulties at work. Some are suffering from mental or physical illness. Lord, I pray that we would not waste any trial we go through. But in each trial, we will learn to grow closer to you and we'll learn to put our trust in you. May you comfort us and sustain us during these trials. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing and we're going to turn to today's passage. James chapter 2, 18 to 26. We'll use the ESV version. But someone would say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not so Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and please be seated. Good morning. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is Abraham's Living Faith. This is a continuation of what Pastor James covered last Sunday on James chapter 2, 14 to 17, faith versus works. In today's passage, James, the author of this book, he wants to continue to establish that merely saying that you believe without your deeds to show it, to demonstrate it, tells us that your faith is useless or is dead. And we look at the examples of Abraham and Rahab to see what an active living faith looks like. Now, sometimes we claim that we are some kind of people, and we even make ourselves believe it, but our actions may not match our claims. So I'd like to start with an ancient Chinese story. Can we bring up the first slide? So there was a famous Chinese writer. His name is Su Dongpo. In the Song Dynasty, he was a poet. He was also a poet, calligrapher and a painter. He had a very good friend, a monk. Now they had common interests, but they like to tease each other. So one day the monk was meditating and he felt a sense of peace in his heart. So he wrote down four characters here. Hello, who can read these four characters? Recognize them, okay? So these four characters basically say that my heart is like still water. My heart is like still water. 心如止水. That means that, you know, nothing in the world can disturb me. I'm like still water. He looked at his writing. He was very satisfied with the artistic Chinese calligraphy. So he decided to show this to his friend, Su Dongpo, that writer. So Su Dongpo looked at this writing and he had some expression of disapproval. And then he took a red pen and he put a big cross on these four characters. And then he put down another four characters. Basically, it meant this is total garbage. And the monk was so upset, and he yelled at this writer, Su Dongpo. He said, how could you damage my magnificent writing? And then Su Dongpo said that, I thought you just said that your heart is like still water. Why are you bothered by what I just said? So you see that, as I said, sometimes we claim we're some kind of people, and we even make ourselves believe it, but actions may not match our words. This is not only true for this Chinese monk, it's actually true for many Christians who claim that they are believers or followers of Christ, but they do not demonstrate faith in their deeds. And this reminds us to reflect how we live our lives, especially in our priorities. One person suggested that to know what one person loves, look at how he or she spends his money or time. So in today's passage from James 2, we clearly see two kinds of faith. Useless or dead faith, and an active or living faith. James calls their faith apart from works to be dead, and the faith from Abraham and Rahab, the active or living faith. So dead versus alive, what's the difference? I would like to continue to use a tree as an illustration, as Pastor James did last week. So can we bring up actually the third slide, a picture that I took recently. Can anyone tell me what is in this picture? What is it? Tree of life. Good, very good. It's the tree of life from the animal kingdom of the Disney World. It's 44 meters or 145 foot tall. Let me ask you, is it alive or is it dead? Neither? Some of you say it's dead. All right. So I was actually inside the tree. You know why? Because the base of that structure is a 400 seat theater. That shows a very nice 4D film called It's Tough to Be a Bug. So I can assure you the tree is dead because I saw all the fake leaves very close by. Now, it's kind of ironic because it's called the tree of life when the tree is actually not alive. Again, you can call something any way you like, but reality may not match the name. So what are the many ways Now you can tell if a tree is alive or dead. A real tree grows. A real tree transforms. A real tree can produce real fruits or grows leaves. And it multiplies. None of this applies to the tree of life in the Disney World. It looks great from the outside, but it's not alive. So in today's passage, we clearly see that James cannot tolerate a faith that has no signs of life. The faith he's referring to is the proclamation of faith, as someone who claims that he believes, but he don't see any evidence from his life or her life, just like a dead tree. And James even used this example, right? Demons. You know what? The demons actually believe God is one, and they shudder. But that kind of belief does not save them, because they are still eternally condemned. That knowledge did not change the way they do things. It's not a saving faith. So what is a living and saving faith? James used two OT characters as examples of people with living faith. Now these two characters are very interesting. The first one is Abraham. He's one of the most respected characters in the Jewish history, like Moses, King David. And the other one is Rahab. She was a prostitute, a Gentile. But both demonstrated living faith. So what did Abraham's life demonstrate? We're going to look at a particular story about Abraham's faith. And then we'll come back to look at Rahab. The first example James used is in verse 21. And that was the fact that Abraham offered up his son, Isaac, on the altar. Now, this is a story from Genesis 22. And actually, today, Genesis 22 is the second passage we're going to use for the sermon. We're going to look at the deep meaning of this story later on. But the key here is that James used this example to show that Abraham's faith was active through his action of obedience to God. Now, we all know that was the peak of Abraham's faith. He did not always act that, and he actually failed multiple times. But this was the time, like the peak of his faith. So before we get into this story and how Abraham learned to obey to God, we want to deal with a critical issue and question. You see, the passage, James 6, chapter 2, 21 to 24, these four verses invited a lot of debates among Bible scholars regarding the relationship between faith and works. And I would bring out this controversy. Verse 21 says, "Was not our father Abraham justified by works?" Justification by works? Then in verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Wait a second. On the surface, it appears to be contrary to what Paul said in Romans 3:28. "For we hope that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." We are justified by faith alone, not by works. Can the Bible contradict itself? So to help us understand this, I'm going to use three pieces of paper. Black, white, and green. So for those who grew up in the children ministry, you know that we use five colors for the word list book. Today I'm going to use just three. All right. The key to resolve this issue is to understand that the Greek word for justification is D-I-K-A-I-O. I think it's pronounced lykio, but I'm not an expert on Greek. But the key thing is that this word, justification, has two meanings. The first one is to be declared righteous, and the second one is to demonstrate. And the first one was used by Paul, the second one was used by James. So let's look at this. So we used to be what? Dead in our sins, or in darkness, the black paper. But we were washed by Jesus' blood. That's when usually you have the second color, red. We're washed by Jesus' blood, and so what? We're now white. There's nothing we did in the past, there's nothing we do now, and nothing we can do in the future could help us to get this status, that is, to be declared righteous by God, because the only one that could do it was Christ. So that's why justification or being declared righteous by God, only Jesus who died for our sins, because he is the perfect sacrificial lamb. Only he could do it, right? So this part, justification, as Pastor James said last week, during the conversion time, only Jesus could do it. And this is the justification that Paul was talking about. Even Abraham offering his son Isaac on the altar cannot earn this salvation. Nothing. And that's good news to us. I don't know how many of you can offer your son, but it's good news to us because this justification has nothing to do with your works. All right. But God never wanted us to stop here, right? Yes, we are not white, but we have nothing to show. Nothing good works to demonstrate that we are a changed person. We are transformed by the gospel. This is where this comes in. Because God doesn't want you to stop here. You'll be nurtured by God's word. The gospel will transform you. So you give your time, you give your money, you serve, you have joyful response to God's grace by serving in the church, by helping the poor, by reaching out to nations. And this is what James was talking about. And that's the second meaning of this Greek word, lykio, D-I-K-A-I-O. It means to demonstrate, to vindicate, to prove that you're worthy of what you were called to be righteous. All right? So this is what James was talking about. If your faith is alive, then you'll show the green. Once again, this word justification has two meanings. From black to white. There's nothing we did in the past, nothing we can do now, nothing we can do in the future can help you to earn this status of justification, of being called righteous. Only Christ could do it. That's good news, because you are accepted as soon as you believe. There's nothing you have to do. You don't even have to offer your son. But once you become the children of God, you'll have joyful response to that grace. And you'll be willing to give your time, your money, your energy, you devote to what God cares about, and you'll be this green. Of course, one day you'll be with God forever, and that's gold. That's why you have five colors. And, you know, that's what we use in the Word's book in the children's ministry. All right, so I hope that we make that clear, because it's very important. This is the most controversial passage in the Bible, and I thank Pastor James for assigning it to me. All right, but he did the first part last week too. All right, so what James meant here is that a faith A genuine faith should be able to demonstrate it with good deeds, but they have nothing to do with gaining your salvation. Right? They're just the natural outcome of a genuine faith. So Paul expressed this in Colossians chapter 2, 6 to 7. Let me read this. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, you know, like a tree, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. A tree started as a seed, but if it's living and its proper nutrition, it grows. It transforms itself from a seed, which has the genetic makeup, to what it should be, to become a tree that continues to grow and to become what it meant to be. And we are meant to be grow and to be more and more like Christ, because Christ is in us. Is Christ in us, you will turn from this white paper to green paper. Because that's how you fulfill God's calling for us to become a blessing to others. So that's my first point. Can we go to the second slide? A living faith, what? It's active with works. A living faith is active with works. Now we're going to turn to the actual story of Abraham offering Isaac. Please turn to Genesis 22. We'll focus on verses 1 to 18. We don't have time to read it together, but please turn to this chapter. Genesis 22. Now, how old was Abraham when he offered up Isaac? We don't know the exact age, but it's definitely over 100 years old. Now, we need to pause and think a little bit about the request from God. God asked Abraham to offer Isaac on the altar. What do you think was going through Abraham's mind? And do you know how ironic that request was? I think the following would be going through my mind if I were Abraham. So I'm going to pretend I'm Abraham. Now, God promised me that I will have offspring from my only son, Isaac. And not only that, I will have offspring like stars in the sky, sand on the seashore. And many nations will be blessed through my offspring. But now he asked me to offer Isaac. How is he going to keep his promise? Right? This Isaac, if I sacrifice him, if I kill him, there'll be no offspring. Maybe I should do something to help God. But wait a second. Last time when I tried to help God by listening to my wife Sarah and by having my maid Hagar to bear a son Ishmael, look at how much trouble I got into. And God told me that Ishmael was not even the one he promised. What am I going to do now? Or I'm just pretending to be Abraham. These are the thoughts that might have gone through his mind, right? But by this time, after many experiences of God's intervention to save him, including the time, I don't know if you remember, that he lied or not being entirely honest about his wife's identity to Pharaoh to save his life. And eventually Pharaoh found out and God saved him, right? But after all these experiences, he finally learned to trust and obey God completely. Now he's ready. Because this is a God that keeps his promise. He doesn't know how, but maybe God would resurrect his son. He's just going to put his trust in him. And this is why James said that the faith of Abraham was demonstrated by his works, by trusting and obeying God completely. So that character transformation from someone that relies on yourself to someone who completely trusts and obeys God is a demonstration of your faith. Now we should know that Isaac was the biggest blessing in Abraham's life, probably from his point of view. This is what God said to him in Genesis 22. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Think about it. The thing he loves the most, God is going to ask him to give up. But Abraham has learned to place God, the source of all his blessings, above the biggest blessing in his life, and by being obedient to him completely. But he was not the only one that was obedient in this story. Do you know there's another one that was truly obedient? How old was Isaac at that time? I think in some of the Bible stories and pictures, you might see that Isaac was like a child, a boy. But actually, most Bible scholars believe that by that time, Isaac was over 20 years old. Some even say it's 37. Regardless, it's between 20 to 40. In other words, he was a young man. He was able to carry the wood, remember? Before Abraham tried to bind Isaac and lay him on the altar, Isaac could have fought with his father and said, no. And this young man was much stronger than his ailing father, who was over 100 years old. But he also completely obeyed. Isaac was a picture of Christ, the Son of God, who fully obeyed God to the point of his death. Of course, we all know the end of the story, right? This was just a test of God on Abraham's faith. The Lord actually provided a ram caught in a thicket by his horns to replace Isaac. And that's why Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. In other words, the Lord provided his own sacrifice. And Christ is also that perfect sacrificial lamb that took our place. And this is why it is such an important story. Why do you think God put this story of Abraham in the Bible? We know that it's about Abraham's faith. I think it's not just about that. I think he wants us to know what he was going through, what he was enduring to give his only begotten son, to fulfill both justice and love for you and for me. Can you sense what was going through God's heart? Christ died for us so that we can have life. Do you still want to live like a dead man? With a face that has nothing to show? With a face that is dead? Let me say that again. Christ died for us so that you can have life. Do you still want to live like a dead man? With a face that is dead? This brings us to the third point. The second point is a living faith trusts and obeys. A living faith trusts and obeys. And that's what Abraham demonstrated. But the third point is a living faith multiplies, just like a living tree. Let's come back to Genesis 22, 17 to 18. Because Abraham did not withhold his son, the biggest, I don't know, blessing from people's mind. The angel of the Lord said the following, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God will bless Abraham beyond his comprehension by multiplying his offspring. So many that there are stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore. And through his offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And this is also the mandate from Christ, right? Christ said that in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey my commands. The Great Commission. Now, James chapter 2, 21 refers to Abraham as our father. I want you to pause to think about it. Is Abraham your father? Was he talking to Jews only? Physical descendants of Abraham? Or is more than that? Who are the true sons and daughters of Abraham? Let's read Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. It's from Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to my promise. So we are heirs, spiritual heirs of Abraham according to the promise. And Romans chapter 4, 13 and 16. And this is important. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, not because of any works you do, but through the righteousness of faith. Remember, anyone who accepted what Christ did on the cross for us, who believe God, you're called righteous. This is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the Lord, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And this is why, along in children ministry, you sing this song, Father Abraham has many sons. I don't know if you remember that. Okay. It's based on the Bible. All right. So the promise of the offspring of Abraham is raised on grace. And the offspring, what? It's referring to all the believers, you and me, who have a living faith like Abraham and were rooted in Christ. In other words, you are the true Israel. You are the true Israel. Case in point, Rahab. She was a prostitute. She was living in darkness. But she believed. And not only that, she took actions. Her faith was active, demonstrated by her actions in rescuing the messengers from Israel. This is good news for all of us. Even though we were not in God's family before, we live in darkness, like Rahab, through our faith in his grace, we are now called the offspring of Abraham. We are God's children, regardless of your race, gender, or background. But if you are the offspring of Abraham, remember, a living faith multiplies. Right? It multiplies. And the living faith is demonstrated by works. So I'm so thankful for anybody who serves the traffic duty, kitchen, or today we have several fellowship group leaders who are stepping forward to be the shepherds of the cell groups. The faith is growing into maturity by serving God, by loving your neighbors. But our biggest blessing is actually our salvation. And God wants to use Abraham's offspring to bring this blessing to all nations. And that is the Great Commission. And we have a missions class at 11 o'clock. You're all welcome to find out how we can come up with a strategy to fulfill that Great Commission. So the third point, a living faith multiplies. God bless you so that you can bless others. This has always been God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. To conclude, I'm running out of time. Let us ponder this question again. Christ died so that we can have life. Do we want to still live like a dead man without a living and active faith? And can we be a blessing to others? Let us pray. Dear Lord, you gave your life as a ransom so that now we can be reconciled with our Father and be called the offspring of Abraham. And we are the true Israel. Help us to grow into maturity so that we can bring compassion and justice to the helpless, to the poor, to the aliens, and use us as a blessing to bring your salvation message to all nations. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.